RNIB Connect Radio is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Yes, 20 years ago, we hit the internet, now on Freeview, smart speakers, apps, you name it, you can find us pretty much everywhere. Ron Hall has joined us as our guest editor. You know, sport was quite a big thing for you and continue to be.
Well, sport's where it all started for me, really. That's how I got the injury, playing football as an eight-year-old, going down to head the ball and him coming up and the impact attaching the retina. That's, you know, that's how it all started, playing football. And I was so obsessed with sports, especially football at the time. That was never going to change. That was never going to put me off doing sport. And I think the biggest realization was when I had to adjust. Once I had gone through all the operations and then obviously I was blind in one eye, depth perception was the biggest issue. I couldn't believe it. I remember coming out and I was playing table tennis at the time and I remember missing the ball by about 2 foot. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. I was all of a sudden, I was terrible at sports. And I think a lot of the time that would probably put a lot of people off of trying to continue it. But for me, sports is one of the best things you can do for your mental, your fitness, enjoyment. And there's such a range of sports. And for me, football, golf, table tennis, badminton, all of them required, you know, hand-eye coordination and depth perception. And I just had to retrain myself to do it. And I'll never, ever stop. I'll never stop playing sport.
The benefits there, yeah, beyond, you know, the physical health and so on, you've got the social side of things, you know, growing your social circle, building confidence as well. If you look at football, you know, it's a massive sport for blind and partially sighted players. It's global, you know, they have World Cups, European Cups, and now you even have blind tennis, which is actually the fastest growing sport for blind and partially sighted people at the moment. So, you know, there are ways to make these sports more inclusive.
It's so important that football, tennis, any sports like that, it's not on your own. You know, you're meeting new people. And if you're doing it in a community where you are, you know, doing blind tennis or blind football, any sports like that, you're sharing stories with people who have been in similar or the same positions as you and making friends or meeting people who have gone through the same thing is so important because it allows you to talk about it. What hardships there are, what are the pros, what are the cons, how you dealt with them. Some people might be dealing with certain aspects than others, and you can get advice from that. There are too many benefits to it to not at least give it a go.
What's your favourite sport to play and to spectate?
Oh, this is a real tough one because I think for about 20 years of my life, it would have been football to play.
Right.
But the last couple of years, I'm obsessed with golf. It is just an unbelievable sport that allows me to not run around for 90 minutes, that I can walk. I can even have a drink or two if I wanted to. It gets me out of the house for 5-6 hours. And then I think to spectate, don't think this will ever change, but it is football. I can't beat watching football on the weekends.
I believe you're a big gamer. What sort of games were you really into? And what were you into now, actually, as well?
I guess I remember being in hospital. So in my operations, I had to lay face down into, you know, like a massage chair, you know, the one with a hole in the, you know, your face. I remember having to, after each operation, I have to lay down in one of them and look down and I couldn't get up. And I remember playing Pokemon on the Game Boy, Need for Speed on the PSP. And then I think over the years, you know, Call of Duty, FIFA, or Assassin's Creed. But I saw a campaign that you did on Twitch. And I'll be honest, it actually blew my mind because it made me realize how little I knew about certain conditions and what, like, how difficult it is for people to game. I'm quite fortunate in the fact that, yes, I can't, you know, it's completely black out of one eye, but my left eye, I can see. I don't have an issue with seeing games, but on that campaign and that video that I watched, seeing that each condition would see the screen in a slightly different way and certain games slowly now having accessibility to be able to adjust to that, I honestly thought it was amazing. And it's social as well. You can speak to your friends about it. You know, you don't have to play on your own. I do really think it's a good social and it does keep your brain working.
couple more to look at then, Ron. Let's go on to employment. The number of people out there who want to work but can't because of outdated stereotypes, you know, but blind people can't do this kind of job. That's kind of the, one of the main things that, that gets in the way. You know, the government has a scheme called Access to Work. I mean, that can provide funding for accessible technology. It can provide funding to help people with travel. It can even help pay for support workers to help people with certain elements of the job. The help is out there, but it's kind of trying to change people's minds. You know, you're obviously doing more through being on sort of Love Island now, but you started out differently too.
So I was a financial advisor. I worked in finance for 7 years. And, you know, I'll be honest, I experienced quite a lot of difficulties probably in the earlier years. My eyes were very sensitive to UV. Used to water all the time. It was very difficult for me to sort of go outside without sunglasses on. Probably for about 10 years of my life, I remember just constantly watering. It's horrible. And I remember being in a job, it was when I first started out as a broker, experiencing what it was like to look at multiple screens at all different eye levels. And it was the most uncomfortable thing, because when I'm at home and I'm dealing with my own electronics or laptop or phone, my eye always felt more comfortable looking down at screens rather than looking up. That would stop it from hurting. The problem is that when you've got two or three screens sat on a desk on, you know, like a bit of an elevated stand, and I'm having to sort of look eye level or look up at these screens. And I just remember being in constant pain. I remember used to saying to them, like, is there any way that I could remove the stands? But they were all attached and they couldn't remove any of it. And although it sounds like such a little thing, it used to cause me so much pain. And it was only until, I guess, a couple of years on, once I sort of found my feet in the company and things like that, where I'd ended up just buying my own screen and just made it a lot lower, made the desk lower. I bought a chair for myself to sort of raise the chair up, to just so I could look down at a screen, just so I wasn't in pain from 8 o'clock till 6 o'clock.
I mentioned the Access to Work scheme. You know, that would have helped if that was available to you at that time. You know, it can help with different kinds of equipment. Your employer doesn't even have to pay for it. But sometimes trying to get that message across to employers can be tricky, because if they see someone with a cane or a guide dog, it's like, how can you possibly do a job with IT? It's a kind of attitudinal change that really has to happen.
100% it's an attitude thing, because I've worked in these, you know, big firms. I've worked in these places where HR don't want to deal with it. They think that they've got enough on their plate to be dealing with. They don't need to be requesting all this special stuff for all these people. And, you know, when they go to recruiting, they'll look at it and they have immediate stereotype of, oh, I'm not going to see him for the quality of employment that he could provide to this firm and that service and actually do the job incredibly well, rather than, oh, I can't be bothered to spend 30 minutes or an hour trying to, you know, give them the software, give them the equipment, give them the technology, like you say, that they, you know, might not even have to pay for. It's just a convenience thing for a lot of people. And I think the quicker people start to realize that there are some incredible minds out there that have just unfortunately have a disability or have a form of sight loss or partially sighted or blind, whatever it is, once they start accepting that and seeing past it, these companies will benefit from having great minds working for their firm.
We'll chat with the guys from RNAB a little bit later as well. Let's go on to our final topic then today, Ron, and we're going to look at fashion. You know, again, you know, for me, fashion's important. You know, some people can't get around their head, why is colour so important to you? Why is the look of what you're wearing so important to you? And I kind of think, well, before I lost my sight, you know, I liked to look through clothes. I liked to wear certain things. You know, a bit out there sometimes, maybe. But, you know, it's something you feel good in. You know, it says a bit of a statement about yourself. And, you know, fashion's something you're into now.
I hate saying it, but being in the public eye and being seen everywhere and pictures being taken of me, I have to look after, I guess, how I look. And I do feel confident. I feel nice in, you know, things that I like. And I do have to spend a hell of a lot of time now in a lot of different outfits, a lot of different clothes, because for some reason people see an issue with seeing me in the same top twice. It's a nightmare. I don't have any issue when it comes down to seeing color or anything like that, but I know for a fact that people struggle with websites when they need more description. They need more assistance when it comes down to buying clothes. And it's very important, because if people had that ability to buy the stuff that they want, and we all know the pain of returning clothes, if they just had that accessibility to just buy the right clothes, it does just make life a lot better. Unfortunately, there are a lot of companies out there that, you know, fast fashion, things like this, that just worry about getting sales up, rather than investing into, I guess, the technology of assisting people and upgrading their website.
Even a bit of staff training as well, you know, if you get into the shops. But I can use you can use apps to tell me the colour of things if I'm out and about. There's apps you can use, you can get people on to look at things and describe stuff for you. But you're kind of relying on other people's tastes a little bit as well. I mean, I don't even trust my wife now. I'd end up wearing a check everything if I did that all the time. Tells me fibs about what I'm buying.
Happy life.
But it's important, isn't it? Because, again, I suppose it's not just the wearing the clothes, isn't it? It's how you feel in them. It's how it can give you confidence as well when you're out and about.
Yeah, having that confidence to just put on the right, you know, the right clothes, walk around and just feel £1 million, it does make a difference. Like, I know full well that if I lounge around, or as much as I do like it because it's comfortable, if I walk outside with some tracksuit bottoms and I know that it's got last night's dinner on it, I'm not going to feel great. Whereas if I walk around in like some nice clothes, and I'm not talking about expensive clothes. I don't believe that nice clothes have to be expensive. I reckon half my wardrobe, some of the t-shirts are probably £6. And you'd be surprised how many messages I get on, where did you get that from? Where did you get that from? You know, people were expecting you to come back and say that it's this £100 t-shirt. It doesn't have to be. So I know that I can put on a £6 t-shirt that fits perfectly, is the right colour the way I ordered it, and just walk around and feel good. Everyone should have that feeling.
We're going to chat about fashion a little bit later. Well, we're going to get some of the experts on to do that as well. And I think they're even going to be talking about putting makeup on. I can't really talk about that, but how you do that with your blind as well, make it look amazing.
I mean, I have got experience with, you know, being on TV and putting makeup on, so.
It's a challenge. So we'll chat about that a little bit later. Thanks to Ron.